Well, I'm probably getting close to wearing you out. A long time ago, you mentioned Lexington as an isolated place. Tell me what you mean by that.
There was Lexington, you know, physically, its surroundings, what part of the country. I mean, it was in southwestern Virginia. Is in southwestern Virginia. I remember reading somewhere that it took General Lee and one of his daughters by horseback after the Civil War. I mean, something like 12 days to get to it from Richmond. I mean, before there was the highway and the interstate, it was difficult to get there. So it's physical surroundings. I mean, I remember before the airport was built, there was no terminal. It was just a building. We had the plane, like the President of the United States. But in general, I guess more specifically, the university was isolated because of, I think, its institutions, the honor system, and probably because of the way town-gown relationships, you know, developed, and the composition of the student body being rather privileged students throughout the unit. Well, probably since the Ascension, it's students. I think it always put the town at a distance, and I have a feeling that these students were always viewed as privileged, and they were always, I think, distant and separate from Lexington. And what was good about that is I think it reinforced the institutions like the honor system. I attended maybe two or three honor system conferences on behalf of Washington and Lee around the country throughout my tenure, my 4 years on the executive committee. And, you know, one of the questions that was eventually posed towards us at Washington and Lee, because it was usually the consensus that in the entire country, our honor system was the strongest. It was stronger than the military academies, stronger than the University of Virginia or any of the other schools in the South. It was usually posed to us, well, do you think this can be replicated, from people who are looking, trying to replicate it? And my answer was usually no, because I think that it developed in a unique situation. And I think a lot of that has to do with the history of the university, how, I mean, almost being in Lexington, it was almost sort of forgotten in this little valley, and the rest of the world didn't intrude in. I mean, Washington and Lee integrated, what, in 1970, 71, 72? Anyway, co-ed, 1985, the world didn't go in. I'm not saying that those factors that went in were bad, but, or the fact that they kept out individuals, that those people were good for doing that. But in that environment, the honor system had flourished. And things started to change with the rest of the outside world and Washington and Lee. Whether it was that there were women on campus now, I think issues of safety of the female students heightened the awareness of the safety of students in general. And I think that contributed to the locking of the doors. And I think a general concern, and that's something that was happening, I think, nationally. I think there was a recognition on the part of students, whether they were in Hanover, New Hampshire, at Dartmouth, or Haverford College, or you name it, you know, the ivory tower of academia and the repose of privileged students or middle-class students no longer existed from the crime in the United States. So in that way, Washington and Lee had been exempt. I think that there were, I mean, the stories about the honor system, Professor Stevenson, who had been my first drummer, Professor Buford Stevenson, he told a story of someone having, leaving a dollar on the ledge in the bathroom, and that over a course of a month, the change had, it had turned into different forms of change. It had gone from a silver dollar to quarters to nickels to dimes, but it was like this communal source where people would take from it and add from it. Now, whether or not that really happened, there's no reason for me to doubt what Professor Stevenson said, but you know that's changed. You know, there was shock on the part of my parents and other people. I mean, when I described to them that we took our exams alone, and you know, things are just really competitive now, and not that they weren't before, but I think it's getting more difficult. And, you know, President Elrod can probably elaborate or disagree, but you know, I think that it's probably become more difficult to convince new faculty members of the efficacy, not the efficacy, but the success of the honor system. I would have to imagine. I mean, with the heightened competition to get into graduate schools and people with grades. I mean, I can't believe that Washington and Lee is immune from charges of grade inflation and all sorts of other things. But somehow it had been kept out of all of that. And I think the realities now of life in America are creeping in. And before they had been out.
Did you feel isolated socially there?
Well, if I talk about, yeah, I mean, in some ways we felt isolated from friends of mine who had gone off to school around the country. We weren't getting, you know, the big bands and people coming to, because it was Lexington, Virginia. I mean, you know, we could drive an hour and 20 minutes to the University of Virginia, and then you could see, like, big bands, and you could do more of what was going on at other colleges across the country. But I don't think that was that important to people. I mean, so that was that type of isolation. You know, I had a rich social life there. I dated women from the women's colleges and women in my class and under women who were younger than me. So, you know, there was, I think a lot to do. I didn't feel isolated socially. But, you know, I had classmates who were white who did feel isolated socially. I mean, you know, the way I went about picking a college was not good. But so many people do that. I mean, they have to go in with their parents' suggest and hope that their parents really know something. You know, although I have to say, one of my highlights was giving student tours. I enjoyed talking about Washington and Lee. That's why I felt a little better when I talked to Patrick about the flags, because, you know, I could give the history of the university. And, I mean, people enjoyed, at least said they enjoyed my tours. And I threw so much history into it. And I talked about how the banister in the Morris house was warped because the Union officer took his saber and chopped it up because he wasn't allowed to burn the campus. I mean, for me, it was a history that could be honorable about the school. The fact that Robert E. Lee was president, it hadn't been a problem for me, and I didn't let that be a problem for me socially. I mean, there were others. I think it was a problem for them, but and that's maybe white and black. But for me, I had reconciled and made peace with Robert E. Lee. I mean, not that he was someone that I had to really make peace with, but I found after reading what I read about him that I could be comfortable about talking about Washington and Lee. And my appreciation for Washington Lee has grown since I've left the institution.
Tell me about that.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that now, you know, in retrospect, I would have liked to have taken advantage of and done more of. I mean, definitely language-wise. And other classes. But it's in sharing my experiences with other friends who from law school or even from graduate school, although I do it a lot less now, which is probably healthy, just talking about, you know, who these friends are. And I say, oh, John and Gwen Hanlon, well, how do you know these people? And I said, oh, well, you know, he was my politics professor, his wife happened to be a law professor. I mean, and people are like, and you're still seeing these people? And I was like, well, actually, yes, we're friends. And, you know, they encouraged me to go back to school when I was miserable trying to be a lawyer and not too successful at it. I called John Elrod up one day in Texas. Well, I was in Texas working for this law firm, and I said, I'm absolutely miserable. He was president. I got through Mrs.
She's gone now.
Oh, okay.
I can see her, but I can't think of her name.
And she's like, oh, he's busy, but Willard, you know, I know he'll want to talk to you, put him through. And he ended up giving me like 40, 50 minutes during his day, which he probably didn't have. And he probably began to realize that I was not going to ever be one of these alumnus who could, you know, come close to matching a tenth of the gift of Sidney or Francis Lewis. But he cared enough about me to listen to the disappointment with my attempt at a legal career and to say, you know, we had a conversation almost 9 years ago that I remember that you said you wanted to be a professor of history, but that there were other factors in your life that, you know, discouraged you from doing that. I said, well, you know, now go ahead and do it. What do you have to lose? You know, and I mean, there were other logistic things like, well, you know, I think you're gonna, when you come out of your PhD program, I think the, you know, the job market's actually going to improve in academia. But, you know, so, you know, who did I speak to that day? I think that day I spoke to John Elrod, and then I spoke to David Parker, John Handelman, and then to Gwen Handelman. Those are the people who I spoke to. Eventually I spoke to my parents, but, you know, those are the people who said yes. They were the people who supported me the most, I mean, with the exception of my partner. And then, I mean, my other classmates. I mean, then I spoke to Pat Loach, and I spoke to Brent Hudspeth. And they were like, this is what you always wanted to do. And I'm fortunate enough that, you know, I'm able to go back and do it. And so that's how they've been influential. And even Dick Haynes, who I briefly worked for at his law firm, he knew that in the conversations that we would have occasionally when I was at his law firm, what my passions were about. I mean, occasionally I could make it about something that I was working on, but, you know, our passions both met with Washington and Lee. And, you know, his interest in history and mine and our interest in art, and there were other things. And that, I mean, he knew what, and he could understand that.
He's very fond of you. He mentioned you when I saw him.
I mean, he's another example of an alum, and I don't think Mr. Haynes actually ever graduated from Washington Lee, I'm not sure.
He's so interesting. He went his freshman year,
right,
and then his last year of law school, first and seventh years. What an interesting career.
He's someone who the university, like Jim Brooks, means so much. And I think it's after talking with those individuals, and I hope maybe, you know, when I was in Boston, I did some alumni interviewing, and I hope that I was able to share, you know, some of my stories. And you got a lot more. There were more good stories than some of the stuff we've talked about this afternoon.
Do you recruit for Washington and Lee?
Do I regret?
Recruit.
Recruit. Not now in Iowa. The only person from Washington Lee in Iowa is a former dean, Randy Bazanson, and I had lunch with him, you know, a few months ago. And I'd like to see him more, but I've just been so busy that I haven't. You know, I'd like to do more here in Chicago, and I've actually run into a few classmates that are here, and I've even met one or two. I've actually met an alumnus who's a few years older than me, whose fiance clerked with a friend of mine from law school, and I just like met them at a large dinner party. Mm-hmm. So two of us ended up talking, and unfortunately, since I'm only here on the weekends, I haven't gotten together with him or one or two of my classmates that are here. But if I'm at the University of Chicago next year, I can't say that I'll have time, but I will at least try and get into the alumni activities here. And if I can recruit, then, you know, I will. I'll put myself down, but I don't know what exactly the time commitments I'll be able to make for it. But I did in law school, my last year of law school, I conducted, I think, three or four interviews out at Boston College Law School, and it was convenient for the students because they lived in Wellesley or Newton, and they, you know, it was actually easier than them going downtown to meet any of the guys who were downtown.
Well, I sure would like to see more minorities of all kinds at Washington and Lee. Yeah. We had a... Did they have senior night when you were there? Do you remember that little ritual? Or maybe, I think it's a fairly new thing. I'm not sure.
Well, I know that there was something put together by the alumni office.
Yes.
Okay,
that's what this is. And the fellow who spoke, I don't think he was even here when you were there. George Bent, he's in art history, very cool guy, and he gave the most wonderful talk. And one thing he said, you know, he said, I think you've gotten a wonderful education at Washington and Lee, but I think there are certain things that you're unlikely to learn here. He said, you know, what are you going to do when you're in your first job and you go to a social occasion with the people you work with and your boss shows up and she's with a date you don't expect? And what do you do when she may not be white? In fact, she may not even be a Republican.
And she may not be a woman.
And
she may not be a man.
That's the point. That's the point. And you know, he said, you know, we're in a very homophobic place where everything about this place is very narrow. And I, for one, as a member of this faculty, worry about you seniors going out into this world, because I don't know that we've prepared you for the real world very well. I thought that was... So I'd like to see more different people coming onto the campus, not only because it would give me more interesting people to talk to, but because I think that's part of an education, is to be exposed to a lot of different kinds of people.
The reaction of the woman who was my date for the On the Shoulders of Giant capital campaign. I mean, it's like that. I mean, a lot of friends there are just like, this isn't a terribly diverse place. And they may be white themselves saying that. I mean, they're seeing, you know, a lot of people who look and dress, and I see it at the University of Iowa. I mean, you know, we graduate students have put ourselves on this pedestal, and we're like, they're just so mindless drones, and they all look alike, they all dress alike, they wear the same clothes, they do this, they do that. But I know that I am in that unfortunate class of individuals. I don't really mean unfortunate. I'm nowhere near successful of what Dick Haynes has made of his life at this point in my life. And probably won't have the financial success, but I think I am at that place when it comes to love of the institution or of the Lewises. I had the privilege of spending, you know, time with the Lewises, actually recruiting, trying to help them recruit their grandson to go to Washington Emory. Mm-hmm. He ended up not going. But Paris Hotchkiss was quite pleased with my performance and another student's performance of trying to sell the school. But, you know, the reaction I get is that, you know, other people who know me, they're like, well, you know, I like my partner, he's met John and Glenn, and he hasn't figured out this Washington and Lee thing. Mm-hmm. He's just like, this is something that you have to deal with. I mean, he's met Pat and a number of other classmates, and he's become very good friends with them. But we did do one trip down to Lexington, and it was a rather difficult trip because I came out to John and Mimi, and they were actually the last people that I wanted to know at Washington and Lee that I'm gay, and that was difficult for both of us. But you know, the Parkers and the Elrods and Kirk Bolo, and I'm sure a number of other people know. I do have a special relationship with the university, and I'm grateful. I've been fortunate by the experience that I had. And I think that in general of people who went to college. Because I took something out of there, I think, more than just an education. And maybe I should have taken more of my education out, I don't know. But I've taken a lot of friendships.
They call themselves GNL, the gay and lesbian group, is becoming active now?
I've thought about it, but I haven't tried to make contact with them. I mean, I know that the university is not thrilled about them. But I probably would like to get information on them. And actually, I really haven't had a good conversation with John and Mimi since I came out to them, and Mimi was very supportive. I mean, the president was very pleasant, and it was difficult for me because, you know, I'd want to tell them a little bit earlier, but there never seemed to be the opportunity because I want to actually sit down and talk with them.
It's very important to me to have this book be as inclusive as possible. And one of the things I did at Alumni Weekend was, you know, Ted Delaney?
Yes.
Do you know he's back? He's on the faculty now?
In the history department,
yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I should say, I don't know Ted Delaney well, but I know of him well because he briefly taught at the Asheville School.
Oh, yeah.
And uh-huh. he was friends with a very good friend of mine from my class, a guy by the name of John Thorson.
Yes, he talked about him in his interview.
John and I are really very good friends.
Oh, he admires him a great deal.
And so I know of Ted. I've met him before, but I know of him more by reputation from either Washington and Lee students or faculty members?
Well, he's one of my best friends on the faculty. And Ted and I have really bonded in the last year. And at alumni weekend, we were having lunch together, and he said, "Okay, you've been real interested in gay alumni. That's the table over there." So I went over and sat down, and I said, "All right, you guys, we need to strategize here because I really want to have you in this book. I want to have your presence there. I mean, obviously, every single person who's ever gone to Washington and Lee is not going to be in this book, but I want everybody to recognize themselves in somebody in this book. I also understand that I can't be in your face about it to 99% of the people who went to Washington and Lee. But it's really important to me that everybody recognize him or herself in some way. And the way I see to do that is to through photographs so that people will recognize people who know will recognize other people who know. And so in particular, do you have any photographs that you'd like to see in the book of yourself as a student?
As a student?
I suppose Patrick could probably pull up something.
Yeah, that's.
I'm not talking about outing anybody. That's not at all where I'm coming from.
Oh, well, I didn't come out until I was in finishing law school.
So but that's not what I'm talking. Do you understand what I'm trying to do?
No, I'm not sure if I do.
Well, I just want people to be able to, and from what I understand, there's sort of a gay community within Washington and Lee alumni who know each other, who know about each other.
I know only of one other student who's at the University of Texas who's gay. We've only talked once. I really don't know any of the other gay alums. And, you know, people used to share rumors with me about classmates of mine, but now mm-hmm. since I'm gay, you know, my friends have become much more sensitive, and I don't think they engage. I mean, they don't handle the issue of sexual orientation that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, those people in my class who I'm out to. And it's a shock for a lot of people. It's a shock my parents have not gotten over. But and I'm not out to Mr. Haynes, and that's been something that I've struggled with. I'd like to come out to him. But, you know, unfortunately, I've kind of just pushed that off in the burner. I can't worry about it anymore, and I think that I don't know. He may know, because I think by then the rest of the law firm knew by the time I left that I was gay. So he may have eventually found out. I don't know. He's never brought it up with me. So when you say a photo, I'm
just saying, just including photographs, making sure that I have photographs of people in the book who are now out, whether they were out as students or not. I mean, some of them were out as students, even though practically their roommates would say they never knew anybody gay in their entire lives. But just making sure that they're, in fact, there's this one person who lives in the Rockbridge County community who has agreed to come in and look at photographs with me, because he apparently is somebody people come and stay at his place when they're in town. And so he knows a lot of people, apparently. So he's going to come and look through my photographs with me and help pinpoint pictures. Oh, yeah, you might want to include that one. You might want to include that one. You might want to include that one. And the captions will be completely innocuous, saying nothing, but just so that people will be recognized and people...
Well, I'll have to...
It seems like a low-key way to me to be inclusive.
I'll have to... I'll think about that. I don't have anything offhand. I mean, I have a picture of my partner with me and my dog, but I don't...
No, it needs to be at WNL.
Right, right. Well, actually, I was at WNL in June, and I think that John and Mimi took pictures of the three of us together. They may have, and it's actually one of the things I wanted to ask them about, if they had a picture. There's a picture with John and I, and I think a picture with Mimi and I. Mm-hmm. So that could be there. That's probably the most recent photo of me at Washington and Lee. And I have, I mean, there are photos of me with friends from Washington and Lee, but I'm the only gay one in them.
As far as you know.
Well, no, I mean, these are people that I still see every day. I just saw one, you know, a month ago out in California,
Are you comfortable with this being on the record? And we've had the tape recorder going all this time.
Yes. If I have a change of heart, I'll call you by Monday.
Okay. Well, it's all this is sitting in my office for a long time before it goes into special collections. But if you have any concerns or any hesitations about it, this section of the tape can be off the record.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to say about it. I mean, you know, I had a very active social life when I was at Washington, and I dated lots of women, but it's not even really ready to confront that part of my life that I was gay. I mean, what was good out of it was that my relationships with individuals like the Parkers and the Handelmans, and to some extent my relationship with the Elrods, I think, helped me face my parents and other things, the experiences that I had, and their philosophical sort of views and approach to life made me feel confident. And I think that's something that I gained in spite of the opposition and the homophobic nature of the university. So that's something that, you know, one of the reasons I probably feel grateful. I suppose I could have just been in another environment where, I mean, that may have not happened, but, you know, talking to my friends from other schools, they just didn't have the experience that I had in making friends with individuals who were also on the faculty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that gave me, it gave me an opportunity to look at people who had life experiences that I was prepared to deal with. I mean, no one ever listens to their parents when their parents say, I've done this, I've been here, don't do this, don't, you know. I mean, I see it happen with all my friends. I mean, you know, and it's something that we're coming to realize. I mean, something that happens in the maturing process. You know, you don't take the advice probably from your parents that you're supposed to take. Go ahead and do something stupid or something that you think is the right decision for you. I think it was those relationships that I had with those individuals that helped me when I needed it the most. And that's something that I think they know that I'm, I think I've expressed to them that they know that I'm grateful to them for.
Well, I know the Elrods are extremely fond of you. I know that. And I know Dick Haynes is. I didn't even know that you'd been down there. And as I was leaving, he said, have you talked to Willard Dumas? You really should. I said, he's on my list. He said, he worked here. We just thought the world of him. He just couldn't say enough wonderful things. In fact, it was when I came back from seeing him that I really started bugging you over email. Like, okay, all right, I gotta see this guy. And I'm really, really glad I have. Is there anything, I mean, I feel like I've taken up your whole day. Is there anything you'd like to talk about that we haven't touched on here?
No, I mean, other than say that this was, it was a very good growing experience, and despite the homogeneity, I mean, if you, on the surface, I looked and I found people who didn't fit into that sort of stereotypical Washington and Lee mold. And those are some of the people who are still very good friends of mine. And, you know, I don't always get to see them a lot, but I can, we communicate either by telephone or email or something. I can pretty much tell you where a number of people are right now, and that I've spoken to them within the last month to 2 months. And, you know, things that are important in their lives, I know about, and they know the same thing in mine. And so I think that's, I think that Washington and Lee has a lot to do with that.
Well, will you be pleased to know that I would say you're within 5 minutes of being as long an interview as John Wilson?
Oh God, long-winded things. Not that he's long-winded, but I've become.
No, not at all. I would have like I said, I'd pull you back if you got off the track. You've been on the track the whole time. But I must say, this has been one of the longer interviews, but it's partly because I'm so interested.
Well, I'll definitely be curious to see what you get out of this. I really don't mean to emphasize all the race stuff that much. I mean, it can't be denied that, you know, there were issues. But that's not what I take back now. I really do take with me the friendships that were made and the exposure to different ideas and, well, academic, some academic things. I mean, a rich knowledge of books and other things.
Thank you, Willie.
Thank you.
It's been a real pleasure.